All right, okay, Rabbi says, so the Mishnah says at the end of the first Mishnah, at the beginning of Avrei Pesachim, that even an Ani Shabbat Yisrael, even though he doesn't seem like he feels like he's B'derech Cheirus, right, that he's a free man because he still has a lot of worries on his shoulders, nonetheless, of course, he has to do Haseba, and we'll get to the mitzvah of Haseba, which comes up later on in the Perek. But then the Mishnah continues, that even if he has to go door-to-door collecting, and this is one of the two mitzvahs, which a person has to go door-to-door collecting. The other, of course, anyone know? What's the other mitzvah you have to go door-to-door collecting? If you don't have enough money to do it? Yeah, what's
that body know that you have your
number? Ooh. A mace mitzvah, I don't know if you have to go, it's true, I mean, you have to, everyone has to do it, but I don't know if you have to spend, you know, a lot of money doing it, right? The Gemara says, if you don't have enough money to do a mitzvah, you're really putter, you know, and what is called not having enough money is if your cost, it's going to cost you more than a fifth of what you have. There are a few mitzvahs, though, that you have to pay money, even if, or you have to go collecting money, even though I'm putter, you know, I don't have the resources to do it, and typically I would have been putter. Right, if you don't have enough money for an esrog, you really putter. When it comes to two mitzvahs, you have to go door-to-door collecting in order to perform them. One of them is Dalet Kaisis. The other one is Neiris Chanukah, that you have to go door-to-door collecting with regard to Neiris Chanukah. Why these two mitzvahs are different? Why should Dalet Kaisis and Neir Chanukah be different? So it could be. I think Rabbi Sheffler likes to quote like this from Salvechik. I think I found like this in another Sfarim too, that perhaps is because these two mitzvahs are persumei nisa. Right, Mikra Megillah, I have to hear a Megillah, that doesn't really cost money. It's also persumei nisa, but it doesn't really cost money. Dalet Kaisis and Halakas Neiris Chanukah are mitzvahs of persumei nisa, and they do cost money. Right, I have to do it on my own. So maybe where we're trying to be mefarsim the neis, we even have to spend more money than we typically would. Why? Why? Just because we're trying to be mefarsim the neis, we have to spend more money. So perhaps it's because, right, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he intended for the world to continue to function based on Teva. There are certain nisim that are built into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for the world, as the Mishnah tells us in Avos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with certain nisim in mind, and many of them were already embedded within the Bria itself. But typically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers to conduct the world in a hidden fashion, hidden within the mask of Teva. However, you know, once in a long while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs a great neis and violates the typical rules with which he functions and performs a supernatural event on our behalf. So in order to commemorate that, or in order to reciprocate that as best we can, we violate the normal rules in which we function. Typically, a person would say, look, I'm obligated to spend ad chaymish, until a fifth, for a mitzvah. But when it comes to mitzvahs that are presuming nisa, you can't really hide behind the general rules. You can't say, well, I only spend up until a fifth, sorry, Hashem. You know, oynes rachmana patre, this is my rule, I only spend up to a fifth, and the rest is on you. When it comes to a mitzvah that's presuming nisa, just like a Kaddish Baruch who violates his normal method of functioning, and he performed the neis on our behalf. Whenever we're dealing with a mitzvah, persumei nisa, just as Dalet Kaisis, or perhaps Hadlokas Neiris Chanukah, so too we also have to violate the normal rules with which we function. And even an ani, who doesn't even have any money to his name, has to go door-to-door collecting. You don't have to go door-to-door collecting to buy an esrog or to purchase a sukkah, but you do have to go door-to-door collecting for Dalet Kaisis, for Hadlokas Neiris Chanukah, because these mitzvahs are persumei nisa, in order to kind of reciprocate the neis that Hashem performed in violating his usual rules functioning within Teva. We have to reciprocate that by violating our usual rules and going door-to-door collecting. Okay, so the mission over here concludes with the discussion of Dalet Kaisis, and the Gemara is going to pick up on this later on Daf Kuf Ches. And typically, I would have waited. I don't like, the Gemara is going to get to it. We could have a little patience to wait till Daf Kuf Ches. I'm not sure we're going to get there, but before the end of this month, we have to talk about Dalet Kaisis. I hope we do get there, but we have to talk about it. And, we're kind of pushed into doing it, because Tysus here has a landmark position, which really opens up the whole can of worms of what Dalet Kaisis is all about. So it's really, we're going a little bit out of order, but we can blame Tysus for it. It's not our fault, it's Tysus' fault. Tysus brought this here, really doesn't belong here, but Tysus already cited the discussion over here. But what is the source for the mitzvah of Dalet Kaisis? So we're going to see later on in the Gemara, on Daf Kuf Ches, and we can turn there already. The Gemara, on Daf Kuf Ches, I think, the last line of Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara doesn't really have a source. I mean, the Gemara says you're obligated to do it. Women are obligated to do it as well. Sha'af hein hayu ba'isa neis. They were also included in the neis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not only were they included in the Nes, right, but Schus Nashim Tzidkaniyas Negalnu B'Mitzrayim, who were only redeemed from Mitzrayim, and the Schus of Nashim Tzidkaniyas. So they were instrumental in the pulling about of the Nes of Mitzrayim, a big machlekas. What does Afin Hayu Ba'isa Nes mean? It's not here, it's a Megillah. Tells a Megillah and elsewhere. Does it mean that the woman also participated in the miracle, that they were instrumental in the miracle? A bunch of different perspectives within Tosfos. However, either way, the woman was certainly included, and therefore they're obligated to do Dalut Kaisis as well. Many explain that there are three matzahs corresponding to the three ovis, there are four kaisis corresponding to the four imahos, so clearly the women are obligated in Dalut Kaisis too. They have certainly a large role, a prominent role to play here as well. But what's the source of the mitzvah of Dalut Kaisis? We don't have at all in the Talmud Bavli. Rabbi say, Haloi Dover who? If I would ask you, what's the source of Dawud Kaisis? Anyone? What's the source of Dawud Kaisis? Where do we get four Kaisis from? The
four expressions of Gula.
Oh, so Avrami says what every, hopefully we all know already, Bar Be Rav the Chad Yuma knows that the mitzvah of Dawud Kaisis corresponds to the four Lushainas of Gula. Now that is not found in the Talmud Bavli at all. Rashi here, at the beginning of Avrami Pesachim, does bring it. And that's why everyone knows about it. Rashi says, Keneged Arba Lushaine Gula. Okay, the four expressions of Geula, there is a fifth, we're not discussing that now, but there are four expressions of Geula, and therefore four Kaises at the Leil Seder corresponding to those four expressions of Geula. Rashi did not create this idea on his own, it's already found in the Talmud Yerushalmi, right here in Perek Arvei Pesachim. We'll go over here, the first source in the sheet, Minayin La'arba Kaises, Rabbi Yochanan and Mishem, Rabbi Noya, Keneged Arba Geulois. Connect the four expressions of Geula, Vaitzeis, Vitzalti, Vigoalti, Vilokachti. However, there in the Yerushalmi, there's another source for the mitzvah of Dawud Kaisis. In the Bavli, we have none. In the Yerushalmi, we have two. What's the other? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Kineged arba kaisis shal paro, v'kais paro biyodi, v'eskoyte yisama kais paro, v'etena kais paro, kaf paro, v'nochas kais paro biyodo. Because in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, in Parashas, Vayeshev, right? In Parshas Vayeshev, the dream of the Sarah Mashkin. So there are four kaises that are the kais of paro is mentioned four times. So since the kais of paro is mentioned four times in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, which Yosef interprets positively, right? The dream of the Sarah Eifim, Yosef interprets negatively that in 7 days he's going to be killed. The dream of the Sarah Mashkin interprets positively that in 7 days he's going to be returned to his post within the house of paro. Both of them ended up in jail at the same time. There are those who suggest they sabotaged each other. What kind of mazel was this that the Sarah Mashkin, the Sarah Eifim, the whole staff is ending up in jail at the same time? Perhaps they sabotaged each other. One put pebbles in the bread of the other put a fly in the wine of the other. They were arguing with each other. So the two are definitely related. But Yosef interprets the dream of the Sarah Eifim negatively, the dream of the Sarah Mashkin positively. And in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, who was returned to his post in the house of Paro, the word Kais appears four times. Avrami, what do you say?
In Yosef George's Sefer, Let My Nation Descend, he talks about how, like, when Yosef was interpreting the dreams, like, each one, like, it made references to the Gula of Mitzrayim.
Okay.
So, like, that could, like, strengthen this point a little bit.
Where is there a reference to the Gula of Mitzrayim in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin? This. The Kais.
I don't remember what he said, but he said like it was like
who is this? Who is this?
Yosef Deutsch, Let My Nation Descend.
Oh, I never heard of the Sefer. Okay. Interesting. So there's that other source. Now, this source is much less popular. Sometimes, the mitzvahs have mazel. There are certain mitzvahs that have no mazel. This source in the Yerushalmi is not that well known. Even though Rashi or the Rashbam cites it on Daf Kuf Ches. Look over here in Daf Kuf Ches when the Gemara says Nashim is the name of Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim chayovois v'arba kaisis halal. The women are obligated in drinking the four kaisis four kaisis at the Leil HaSeder. Shafin hoi boisan. Let's look at Rashi Kuf Ches and Aleph, the last Rashi in the Daf before you get to the Rashbam. Arba kaisis shloisha keneged dalet kaisis shenemer b'kais zev v'kais par b'yad v'rvius b'birchas hamazon. So it's the Kais Par Biyodi. He quotes over here the source of the Kais that was mentioned in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin. Why does he mention over here the dream of the Sarah Mashkin as the source for the four Kais of the Leil HaSeder, whereas at the beginning of the Perek, Rashi mentioned the four Lashonos of Geula. Anyway, it's a little interesting. Why should the crisis of the Sarah Mashkin be the source for the Talmud crisis of the Leil Seder? The four expressions of Geula, we understand. What is the four crisis of the Sarah Mashkin? What does it have to do with the Geula from Mitzrayim? So, in my Sefer, I only did this because Benji told me I should do it. But in the Sefer, Chamudi Daniel, Rabbi Seikin will get it. I don't know when it will be in the Beis Medrash. The next time I get there, it will be in the Beis Medrash again. But hopefully everyone has it. If you need one, let me know. But I quote over there in Parashas Vayikra from Eliyahu Kolaskin. What an unbelievable pshat he has. He says, how did he know? How did the Sarah Mashkim know? How did Yosef know that the dream of the Sarah Mashkim should be positive and the dream of the Sarah Oifim would be negative? How did Yosef know? We understand Yosef has, you know, great powers of intuition and of deduction, but we are rationalists, Rabbi Sai. We're Litvish people, basically. We have Chassidish tendencies, perhaps. In our orientation, we're rationalists. How did Yosef know? We could say Ruach HaKodesh, Shemus HaKodesh, I guess you could go that route, but there must be some hint over here in the dreams of Sarah Mashkim, Sarah Oifim, that Yosef knew that one was going to be positive, one was going to be negative. Well, you know, how did he know this? So the Sefer Chibas HaKodesh, Rabbi Eliyahu Kolaskin, suggests that perhaps it's because if you look at what they're dreaming about, it's very different. The Sarah Oifim is dreaming about baskets, and there's bread on his head, and a bird is eating out of the baskets. It's a very strange dream. Lots of people have strange dreams. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. However, the Sarah Mashkim, all he's dreaming about is getting back to serving Paro, v'kos Paro b'yodi, and he's handing over the kos to Paro. All he's dreaming about is getting back to his post. So Yosef knew. A guy who that's all his dream is about getting back to his job. That's all he's focused on. You know, that's what he's obsessed with. The Sarah Oifim was dreaming about, Andrew Shazachin. He's dreaming about baskets and birds and, weird things. The Sarah Mashkim is just dreaming about, getting back to his job. Anybody who that's his sole focus, that's his obsession, undoubtedly in the end will be successful. And therefore, Yosef knew that the dream of the Sarah Mashkim we should interpret positively. In all likelihood, he will get back to his post. And the dream of Sarah Oifim, he interpreted negatively, because this guy already is, lost. He's dreaming about other things. And perhaps this is the source, the mitzvah of Daud Kais is to teach us, even if we're in Galus, right, even if we're in jail, a person is far away from where he wants to be. If that's his obsession, if that's what he's focused on, and that's all he's thinking about, is getting back to where he belongs, so then undoubtedly he'll be able to get there. So perhaps that's one of the, the reasons or the themes of the Arba Crisis, is the crisis in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, because just like the Sarah Mashkin, that's all he was dreaming about while he was in jail. So too, this is all we should be dreaming about, is the Geula and coming back and closer to Hashem. Okay, so maybe that's, how we could see a connection there. But Rabbi Zay, getting back to the, to the nuts and bolts over here. A, question number one, why doesn't the Bavli bring a source at all for this? Question B, Yishami has two sources. Why does Rashi on Tzadi Tesame Beis and the Mishnah bring the source of the four Lashonis of Geula, the famous one? And on Kuf Chesamad Aleph, Rashi brings the source from the Kaisas in the dream of the Sarah Mashkim. Yeah, what do you say, Blavi?
Right, the Talmud
of
Yerushalmi was written before the Talmud Bavli, correct? And then it was finished off in Bavli?
That's a large discussion. It's generally assumed that the Talmud Bavli was written afterwards. That's why we pass on the Talmud Bavli, because it was kind of like the Pesach Achron. The Bavli saw what it said in Yerushalmi, but I don't, I'm not an historian. Really,
the Talmud Bavli is basically putting together and transmitting a bunch of conversations between the sages at that time.
I think that's the assumption, yeah.
And for that transmission, there were many mistakes made and things were forgotten.
Okay. If we want to go the academic route, right, then a lot of these things are not kashas. You just say, things were left out and we have Diktuke Sofrim, and that's why we have the Yerushalmi.
Right? We obviously have sources for it. It obviously is part of our tradition. Like, does it matter that...
Right.
This is
a large discussion. You're raising a good point, and I have a lot to say about it. But I'm more of the persuasion that, and this is a large discussion with a lot of implications, that... L'mashal, Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach, that, if you, on everything that happens in the world, if every blade of grass, grows, is because a Malach is there commanding it to grow. If a person stubs his toe, there was some Hashgacha there, that was for some purpose. Now, I'm not getting involved in the whole discussion of Hashgacha Klos, Hashgacha Pratis. The more a person is in tune with Hashem, the greater Hashgacha he has. The less in tune with Hashem he is, the less Hashgacha he has. Hashgacha on animals, Hashgacha on Bnei Noach. Leaving all that aside, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach on the world. So, in my mind, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach on the world, and blades of grass, more or less speaking, need a malach there, in order to tell it to grow, because nothing happens without, the ayin roav, the oizen shomas of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how could it be that there's really a reason for Daud Kaisis, But the Bavli, because of some academic reason and some omission and someone's conversation and someone's poor editing, was left out. I have a hard time believing that that's not a hashgacha too, right?
So what is the story master of a Hochi Ketani? Why does that exist? I mean,
well, that's exactly the point. They fixed it. That's exactly the point, was they fixed it. The fact that, though... So, Lamasho, once we have a canonized text, you know, in our canon, I don't think it makes sense, the academic study of Talmud, which is really to peel back the layers of the Talmud and say, well, Rav Huna misunderstood the first generation of Amorim, and the, you know, first generation of Amorim misunderstood the Tanoim, and therefore we who are now sitting back with, you know, hindsight, you know, perspective hindsight, can reinterpret these sources because we have better interpretive tools at our disposal. I think that's very dangerous. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach on the literature of Torah. It cannot be the Torah, which itself is the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, as Ramban writes in his Hakdama to say for Perush HaChumash. The Torah is Shmoyis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly Mashgiach on which Svarim should be Mekubal, and the text of those Svarim. I mean, Rabbi Reichman once, this is a classic Brisker notion, it's not mine, that, you know, the text of the Rambam, because it comes up all the time, when the Reb Chaim interprets a Rambam, it's clearly not what the Rambam had in mind. If you know, a lot of times they ask kashas in the Rambam, and it appears in the Tshuvas of the Rambam that they asked him these kashas, you know, the Chachmei Lunil and the other contemporaries of the Rambam asked him kashas and stiras. None of them said terutim like Reb Chaim. So what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, that Reb Chaim is wrong? Because that was not the Derech HaLimud of the Rambam. So the Briskers will tell you, and I believe that they're correct, that the text of the Rambam doesn't matter what the Rambam means anymore. If the Rambam himself explains in a tshuva, well, that itself was hashgacha, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed that to seep out too. But whenever you have a seer in the Rambam, what the Rambam meant is almost tangential. It really doesn't even matter. Because we're not trying to figure out what the Rambam meant. We have classic texts that are now part of the enterprise of Torah, and I is entitled to just as much, you know, interpretive position of what the, you know, what the text of the Rambam means as the Rambam is. So I know it's a little bit of a paradox, and academics hate it, but I think it's compelling, and that is that you know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach, that one of the texts that should be Mekubal and the base matters would be the Rambam. That's why Rav Salvechik was not happy with Meiris. The Rav didn't like Meiris. Why didn't he like the Meiri? He had something against the Meiri. The Rambam was clearly greater than the Meiri, but is that he didn't like the Meiri? No, the answer is because the Rav felt that the Meiri was a text that was forgotten. It was brought back through Kisveyad in his time, but it was forgotten. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot it on purpose, meaning that's what the Chazon Ish felt. We shouldn't paskin from Kisveyad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's some system by which certain things are relegated to the dustbin, and there's a reason why they're relegated, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to be here. Right? Every person...
It's destiny, almost.
Right. Well, every Pesach, right, you know, because another question, this is a basic hashgacha, I don't want to get so distracted, but let's say every Rav has the is entitled to say a psak halacha, right? If he's entitled to his opinion, you can't stop people from saying things, and everyone has bechira chafsha. So a guy's going to issue a psak halacha. So people, you know, who are not acquainted with rabbinic circles are sometimes confused. Well, you know, why is he different? His name is Rabbi. He has a smicha from such and such institution. Why is he different than, you know, so-and-so? And they don't understand that there's a hierarchy in Rabbonim and, you know, in Piskei Halacha and all that kind of stuff. So, but you can't stop people from saying these things. So how does Hashem control what's correct and what's incorrect in the winnowing out of, you know, Amita Shel Torah? Let's assume, right, that the Torah has to be remain correct in terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended initially, and it can't go off the rails completely. We have Bechira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to interpret, you know, together with him, using the Yugim Amita Shel Torah Jeshu Bahem, but the Torah has to remain true to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. Yeah, but if everyone can say anything, particularly if they have rabbinic license to do so, so how does Hashem control? And the answer is through the dustbin of history. Certain things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach, should be forgotten about, right? There are controversies that were huge deals in my time in Yeshiva that you guys have no idea anything about. And I think that that's part of the Hashgacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach, that those people who were leading movements were forgotten, that, you know, were a big deal, you know, in the mid-90s, are gone. Because you guys didn't even know the names of these people because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to be a part, huh?
Would Rebbe be willing to give us an example?
Yeah, no. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to be a part of, you know, the Maserah. I don't want to name names. You know, you guys have no shaykhus to it because it's already been forgotten about. So let it be forgotten about. And that's the way that Hashem winnows out what's not meant to be a part of Torah moving forward. So, like, do I think, you know, that, you know, that this sort of salvation getting back felt that the Rambam was an accepted text? Meiri was not. For good reason. And therefore, he wasn't willing to be bothered with it. Now, the problem is, the paradox is, yeah, but the Meiri was found, and now the Meiri has become accepted in the Beis Medrash. And I think that's why, you know, people from a later generation will say, yeah, but it is part of our Hashgacha, it is part of our Mesorah, and now we are supposed to deal with it, because the Hashgacha is that it was accepted, and did become part of the Beis Medrash, right? I think the Rabbanan Soloveitchik knew Meiri's, knew the Meiri Baal Peh, you know, whatever they say, you know, for a little bit later generation. So it was already, you know, something was Mekubal, and therefore could be dealt with. So much so, Rabbi Rachman once took this way too far, in my opinion. Rabbi Rachman even said, you know, my Sefer on the Rav's Torah has already become Mekubal in Beis Medrash. I'm not even entitled to it. I'm just entitled to an opinion. In my own words, as Kilu, you're entitled to an opinion. We're both of equal. You know, he felt that the Rav, his Rav Shirim that he published were like the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. So that's too far. But I think that the principle is true. So therefore, just getting back all the way back to where we started, the fact that there is no reason brought in the Bavli is not an omission and someone's mistake. The fact that it was left out of the Bavli is significant. But yet, it's found in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So in my opinion, that's not an academic human error, and we should just assume one text is complementing the other. I think the fact that it appears in the Yerushalmi, doesn't appear in the Bible, is significant and teaches us something, perhaps a dual dimension, as it were, you know, with regards to Dawud Kaisis. But before even we get to the Bavli and Yerushalmi problem, we have a problem with Rashi. Why is Rashi quoting one reason on Sadi Tesmah Beis and a different reason on Daf Kufches? So the Mefarshim and the Gemara already deal with the problem of Rashi and Kufches. Why is he switching reasons? So there are those that say, because if you look in the Yerushalmi, who said the reason of the Kaisos in the dream of the Sarah Mashkim as the source of Dawud Kaisos was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Who is the Amorah whose statement the Gemara brings in Kufches and Alf, the women are chayv in Dawud Kaisos? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Oh, so Rashi was just trying to be consistent within the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This is the reason for Dawud Kaisos. Rashi himself, you know, is not here to give you Rashi's opinion. Rashi's here to interpret the Gemara. So within the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the reason for Dawud Kaisos is not because of the arbitrary shyness of Google. The reason for the Dawud Kaisos is the four Kaisos in the dream of the Sarah Mashim. So that's why, that's the reason, you know, that Rashi brings in Kufches Medav, somewhat of a technical reason. Or you can give another technical reason. They quote this in the name of Chaim Berlin, the son of the Netziv, or it's like this in the Stechem, it has this also, that 1 minute, what are the four Lashonis of Gulu? Vahitseisi, vihitzalti, vigo'alti, v'lokafti. I took you out, I redeemed you, and I took you to Eretz Yisrael. So those three apply to women too. What about vihitzalti? I saved you. What's vihitzalti? Vihitzalti is because you were in mortal danger. Why were they in mortal danger? Because Kohabain, Hayiloid, Hayoiro, Tashlichu, the sons who were born were going to be thrown into the Nile. And now by being redeemed from Mitzrayim, we were saved. But the women were not saved because the women were never in any danger, mortal danger, of being thrown into the river because that was not part of the Gzeira. So, therefore, Chaim Berlin and others suggest that perhaps that's why on Daf Kuf Ches Medav, Rashi is discussing women and their obligation to Dawud Kaisos, Rashi leaves out the Arba Lashonis of Geula, because perhaps the Arba Lashonis of Geula do not coincide with the female, you know, the experience of women in Mitzrayim. It doesn't work with what I said before, that the four Kaisos correspond to the four Imahos. But, you know, that's another, perhaps, technical reason to explain why, you know, one reason appears over here and one reason appears over there. However, if you look in the She'iltais blends the two reasons. The She'iltais of Rabbi Chaigon actually quotes both. And I think that this is what Rashi is driving at too. That there's really two reasons. And we'll have to explain what each one contributes. But there really are two reasons. V'arba kosa shal pesa keneged mi, says the She'iltais, keneged arba kosa shakosa b'paro shenem arba kos paro b'yodi. V'arba kosa min ha'toyra min ha'wen, keneged arba shakosa b'yitzias mitraim na'arba l'shoynais of ge'ula. So it kind of blends both. However, the Avudraham, you know, just so okay. So in terms of Yerushalmi, we have two reasons. Rashi quotes both, seems to straddle the fence. Shiltos goes even further and actually blends the two together. The Bavli has neither, which is, you know, I understand you missed one reason. How'd you miss the other? Why does the Bavli have no reason? And I think just as in terms of just as a Pesach to understand what the Bavli is talking about, you have to focus on the question of the Avudraham. Over here, I say the Avudraham asks in his parish on the Agada. Avudraham, of course, a classical Rishon, was a parish on the Siddur, a parish on the Agada. fantastic. So many of the things that we take for granted in terms of the Perush HaTfilah come from the Avud Raham. So Avud Raham asks, why do we have no bracha on Dawud Kaisis? Yeshorin, mipnei ma ein mevarchin, asher kishom zayis v'tzivanu, lishtos arba kaisis, kemosh mevarchin ala mara, which is also only a mitzvah mid the Rabbanon. Matzah is the Raisa, Mara is the Rabbanon. You still have a bracha on the Rabbanon. Why can't we have a bracha on Arba Kaisis? It's only the Rabbanon, but why can't you have a bracha on Arba Kaisis? There's no pasuk for Arba Kaisis, Rabbi Isaiah. It's only the Rabbanon. The Shaila is that why is there no bracha? So he says, because the first Kais is Kiddush. You're not going to make another bracha on Kiddush. You're already making Bari Piragov and Asher Kishon, so it's Yivan, right? Mekadish Yisrov Azmanim. So you can't make a bracha on Kiddush. Once you can't make a bracha on Kiddush, well, then you can't make a bracha on the last three either, because you missed the first one. It's a set of four. So it's not three, it's not one and three, it's four, and since you can't make a bracha on the first one, because you're already making a bracha of Kiddush, you don't make a bracha on any of them. He says, V'yeshlam ha'ekiv baruch lishtos, da'ud kaisa v'yesh kaisa shol Kiddush, so mitzvah by v'aymed. You're already obligated to drink the first kais because of Kiddush. You're making a bracha on it independently because of Kiddush. So how can you make a bracha, lishos arba kaisis? It's a bracha of Kiddush. You know, it's a kais of Kiddush, which you're chayiv in anyway. V'imtami yivarach lishos shloisha kaisis. You can't. So make a bracha on the last three. You can't because you're chayiv in four. V'alo mechuyiv hu ba'arba hilkach le'efshar. Okay. Then he gives another reason. V'aytam acher. V'nei she'en mevarchin al mitzvah hanasis b'basachas. You only make a bracha on a mitzvah that happens all at once. If the mitzvah happens in stages, there's no bracha. There's no bracha. And a mitzvah that happens in stages. Oh, interesting teretz also. However, of all of these terutz, and the kasha still looms, why is there no bracha for Dawud Kaisis? And perhaps it's because there really is no independent mitzvah of Dawud Kaisis at all. And that's perhaps why the Bavli doesn't quote a mitzvah, a source for the mitzvah of Dawud Kaisis, because there isn't a mitzvah of Dawud Kaisis. What is Dawud Kaisis all about? We'll start with this, we'll continue next time, along the lines of the Ran. A lot of times, Rabbi saying Judaism, I'm not giving here away any secrets over here where everyone knows this. A lot of times in Judaism, in order to attribute significance to things, we throw cups of wine at it. If you ever noticed, whatever we do, there's a cup of wine. There's a bris milah, cup of wine. There's, Kiddush, cup of wine. Havdalah, cup of wine. Everything we do, wedding, cup of wine. Sheva Brachos, cup of wine. Everything has to have a cup of wine. Why? Why? Why does everything that we do have involved a cup of wine? And the answer is because whenever we're praising Hashem, we usually do so in conjunction with a cup of wine. It lends chashivus to what we're doing. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas, Mikan Shein Oimim Shira El Al Yayin. You only sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you only praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of a kais of wine. And therefore many times Chazal established, Midrabanan, that we should fulfill mitzvahs in conjunction with a kais of wine to attribute greater significance to them. And says the Ran, that's what Dawud Kaisis is all about. And perhaps that's why you don't make a bracha on Dawud Kaisis. It's not a separate mitzvah of drinking four kaisis. What is it? It is to add significance to certain, higher profile parts of the Seder by throwing a cup of wine at it, right? Magid, woo, that's a big part of the Seder. That's why we're here. Kais of wine. Kiddush, woo, big deal. Kais of wine. The third kais? Benching, woohoo, big deal, kais of wine. Hallel, another theme of the Leil HaSeder, kais of wine. So it's not that there's the Chazal Masakeh to drink four kaises of wine. What it is any monumental part of the Seder, we throw a cup of wine at it. I don't mean, willy-nilly, but we attach a kais of wine to it to attribute greater significance to it. So that's why perhaps there is no independent bracha in the midst of Dawud Kaisis, because it's not an independent concept. All it is to lend greater significance to mitzvahs that already exist. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hallel, Kiddush, Benching. At the Leil HaSeder, each one is emphasized, we throw a kais of wine at it. And perhaps that's why the Bavli doesn't bring a source. I do think the Yushalmi brings a source that's coming to teach us that perhaps there's more here than just throwing a kais of wine over here. Perhaps there's more than just bris milah. Perhaps it's a little bit more than just Nisuin. Perhaps the kais of wine at the Leil HaSeder has additional significance, and that's why the Yushalmi actually quotes the source. Yeah. Shmuel, what do you say?
What is the chashivas, then? Why does one have to sell or go to the ends of the earth just to give those parts of the Seder chashivas? They shouldn't be ma'akev on the wine.
Well, maybe that's how we're mafar, meaning that's the vehicle by which we're mafar saying the nes. Right, we explained at the beginning that perhaps we do that and because Hashem violated his rules of Teva and performing an ace, and maybe we violate our normal rules of a fifth, not spending more than a fifth on a mitzvah by going door-to-door collecting. But maybe the kais, again, when we say it attributes greater significance, that might be multidimensional. Maybe the way the significance it attributes is by being mefarsim the nace. I don't know the mechanics of it in that sense. We're going to have to see, though, I believe this is what Tysus over here is driving at in terms of his machlokes with the Rambam. At least that's what, along the lines of Brisker Rav explains. So everybody say, see the Tysus, the Rambam, famous Brisker Rav, and a lot of raid. There's a lot of good Torah over here on Dalukais. I mean, we'll get to that next time.